Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is a little bit different because usually I have a lot of space between myself and the topics that we cover, but you're in for a treat today. Usually I cover topics really relating to disordered eating, and this one is still related, but it's something that I'm currently going through. As you can tell by the title, it's dealing with a breakup, specifically in my case, a friendship breakup. So I think I will call this episode How to Deal with a Friendship Breakup, because I think some of the strategies are going to be different for regular breakups. So yeah, a little bit different for me because usually I'm talking about things that maybe I've already dealt with or things I've never dealt with, but I've helped people with. And today's episode is going to be inspired by my real life, which is pretty weird, pretty vulnerable, more so vulnerable than usual. But let's just roll with it because friendship breakups are so difficult. I really think that in some ways they're harder than romantic relationship breakups because your friends are the people you speak to about breakups. And obviously, you know, you might still have other friends and maybe you do have a romantic relationship, but I think it's just a difficult dynamic to break up with a friend. So I'm not going to talk about my situation too much, I don't think, but I really want you to take this episode as something that you can listen to when you do go through a friendship breakup, or something that you can listen to in hindsight, or maybe something that you can come back to in the future. So I'm going to go through some of the strategies that I would recommend. Some of these, you know, I'm using myself, some of these I'm not, and hopefully it's just helpful for you. So let's dive into it. So I think the number one thing you have to do is continue to take care of yourself. Sounds really obvious, I know, but when you're going through a breakup with a friend, you really need to focus on things that make you feel good. And this is particularly tricky when maybe the breakup with a friend has brought up things that make you feel like you shouldn't take care of yourself, right? Like maybe there's, you know, depending on the context that the friendship fell apart with, maybe it feels like, oh, like this has happened again to me. This is something that's happened before. You know, people keep ditching me. People keep making me feel bad, or, you know, vice versa. Like, I keep making people feel bad. I make people feel like they don't want to be friends with me. They don't want to spend time with me. Whatever it is specifically to you, it's really important just to continue making yourself feel okay. So, you know, self-care looks different for everyone. For me, you know, I know that like physical self-care is really, really important because usually that's the thing that I struggle most with. Like I said, I'm not going to go too much into me because it's not about me, right? It's about you and you specifically, but I'll use me as an example in this case. So I know that for me, physical self-care is something that's, I mean, it's a minimum for everyone, but it's like a really big minimum for me. If I don't have physical self-care down, I feel like I can't even like think about the, you know, kind of more higher level stuff, like the spiritual self-care or the kind of emotional self-care, which would be things like, you know, I really love like reading and spending time with my hobbies and being mindful and stuff like this. Like I can't do that if I'm not physically taking care of myself. So physical self-care would be things like, you know, eating regular meals and snacks. It would be all the kind of admin around food as well, like planning what you're going to eat and cooking and that kind of intuition thing that I talk about, that's like how to like make sure you're going to have enough food for the week and like what different like variety are you going to do, if that's like applicable to you. Obviously we'll come back to food since that's the main topic of this podcast, but it would also be like the kind of hygiene stuff, right? So like washing regularly, making sure you're washing your hair, your face, using like whatever products you need to use on your face and on your body. Taking medication is a really important one. Also trying to take your medication at the time that you're meant to, you know, so if you take any anti-anxiety or anti-depression medication, probably in the morning that you take that, you know, same with things like contraception, like trying to stick to it in the morning rather than letting yourself, you know, put it off. So those are just some examples of self-care. Obviously, there are so many more. For physical self-care, I know I'm going to give you like a few kind of quick tips. These are things that I know can help people. So if these are some of the things you're struggling with, let me just give you a quick few to think about. So the first one, which is food related, would be, you know, allowing yourself to be able to eat quicker foods. So that might be like frozen meals or foods that you put in the oven to cook and don't need to like stand around. It might be allowing yourself to have more takeaway or like convenience food than normal. You know, just today, I really don't want to cook breakfast, so instead I went out to a coffee shop and had my breakfast there. And obviously you might not be able to or want to do that every day, but you know, today I had the time because I didn't have work until the afternoon, so I was able to do that. And then I thought to myself while I was doing that, I thought, oh, like this toasty felt really good. I'm gonna get my toasty machine out and make toasties for breakfast the next few days. So you see, it kind of like kind of puts your mind into like new things that you could potentially do as well. And that would also include maybe like if you have a partner or someone you live with or someone you can rely on, you know, allowing them to do the things like the cooking and the preparing food and what you're going to eat. That could be a good idea. My husband definitely takes on that role when I'm stressed or if I'm going through something. He definitely takes on that role in my life a bit more. So that might be something that you can kind of work on to get permission to do. Because I never used to let him, you know, prepare my meals or, you know, do the food shopping or decide what we were going to eat for the week. Because, you know, for a long time, when I was in disordered eating realm, I would be like, oh my God, no, like I need to do it because it needs to be like perfect. Even though I knew perfect didn't exist, it was just like I had to do it because what I would do would be closer to perfect than what he would do. But yeah, really recommend having someone else kind of pick up the bits that you need to drop at the moment. And then on the note of more like physical self-care as well, something that I've spoken to clients about who they've found this really helpful is having your kind of like toiletry products closer to your bedroom. If you're someone who, when they're really going through something, if you're someone who really struggles to get out of bed, you might find it handy to keep products that you need next to your bed. So for example, you might find that keeping a big thing of water that you can pour smaller amounts into would be helpful. So like a big, you know, jug or like container of water that you can pour into a glass, that might be really helpful to keep next to your bed. Of course, like your medications that you need to keep, you could keep them there. You could keep, I've seen, you know, I've heard people even keep like like toothbrush and toothpaste and like a little bowl so they can spit into it when they clean their teeth. That could be an option. Or even if you wanted to, you get those little, I don't know what they're called, but you can buy them from like, you used to be able to get them in like cinema toilets or like restaurant toilets. They're like little disposable kind of like toothbrush things that have already got toothpaste in them. I think you know the things I mean. If you Google toothpaste, I don't know, like ready to go toothbrush or something, something like that. I know of a few people in my real life and also like clients who have used things like that in the past, and it's really just helped them like take care of their teeth and their hygiene while maybe they're unable to take care of themselves as much. So that could be an option. Something else that could be a good shout would be something like electrolyte supplements. So I talk about electrolytes quite a lot because they're a really good source of minerals, and they really help to, if you're not able to drink as much, or if you're someone who gets a lot of headaches and really feels the effect of like stress or grief in their body, which many people do, myself included, I think that something like electrolyte supplements could be a really good idea. So that would be, these would be like the tablets that you dissolve in water. So something like, if you were to Google electrolyte tablet, you'll probably see them. You'll see what I mean. They're the things that fizz in water. Something like that could be a really good idea for you. And I think that's all I want to mention on the kind of self-care stuff. Obviously, if you can, you know, do things like, you know, have a bubble bath, or I don't know, like go get a massage or get your nails done or something like that, like that would be great, right? But if you're unable to do that, like many people would be at this time, just focus on the kind of basic self-care. And basic sounds so funny to say, if it might be really difficult for you right now, but let's call it basic in the least kind of, let's say like judgmental way, right? If you weren't able to do it. So focus on the basic kind of physical self-care stuff for now. And then when you feel a bit better, you can perhaps focus on the emotional stuff, the spiritual stuff, and just the kind of higher up needs that you might have. Another one is, of course, like really set your boundaries. So if, you know, you've had to have a friendship breakup due to, you know, maybe certain behaviors that the friend was doing, or even certain behaviors that like you were putting out there when you were friends with them, it's really important to establish boundaries. So obviously that might look like, you know, obviously not seeing them. It might be blocking them or restricting them on social media or on like text or phone calls. It can be a bit tricky if that person is someone you see in real life. So if it's someone that you work with or someone who you're in like a friendship groups with, that can be really difficult. But it would probably be important to set boundaries with them if they are someone that you see in real life. So maybe you might spend some time mapping out, you know, what you want them to do or not do going ahead, and what will happen if they cross that boundary. So it might be, you know, if you speak to me when we are here or whatever, then I'm going to do this. I don't know what it would be specifically for you, but that could be an example. And really, these boundaries, like, they just are really important. You know that having boundaries when you have a breakup is really important, because if you're still interacting with them in the same way, or even in really different ways, it still just kind of keeps your brain open to still having them in your life. And probably if you broke up with them, you don't want that, right? So work on setting boundaries, work on like sitting in the discomfort, because setting boundaries can be really uncomfortable, but ultimately it's like for your own good, right? And for also their own good too, right? Like, clear, you know, if the relationship wasn't working, then boundaries do need to be set, and it's good for both of you, right? Another one that's so important is just like give yourself acceptance to grieve. And grief is like a really good word to describe a friendship breakup because there is such a loss there. Grief obviously like can come out in loads of different ways and there's different stages of grief, but really like just allow yourself to feel your emotions and allow your brain to like go to the places that it goes to. So when you've had a breakup with a friend, you can have this feeling of like, oh, maybe we could be friends again, or oh, maybe like if I do this, we could make it work, or if only this happened, it could work, or maybe in a few months, we could go back to being friends again. But it depends on the relationship, because I've definitely had friendships that have broken down where like I've ended up being friends with the person again, but I've also had friendships break down that were never rectified, and obviously you just need like time to move on from it. But really, if a friendship breaks down, like there's a reason for that, right? So really all you can do is grieve, go through the process of grief, like being angry, being upset, being, you know, feeling really depressed, feeling let down, anything that you feel is totally valid. And you could use a feelings wheel, which I'll pop in the show notes, a link to a feelings wheel. You could use a feelings wheel to detect exactly how you feel, name, you know, where it feels that way in your body, and use a coping tool like box breathing, which is where you, you know, breathe for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four, right? Like, and just kind of let it release over you. You felt difficult emotions before, and this is just one of them where it's higher intensity, right? Normal to feel sad, it's normal to feel guilty or confused or angry. However you feel is totally valid. Another thing that I would say, and I think there's a delicate balance here, is express how you feel and talk about it. But don't let yourself really get into the thick of it. So I'm a big fan of talking about things, definitely because I'm a chatterbox, but also because talking about things really helps me like express how I feel. But it gets to the point that I kind of exhaust myself out of it, which if you're someone who expresses things a lot through talking, you might also feel the same way. So sometimes when I'm, you know, feeling a certain way, so when I was really in the midst of my current friendship breakup, you know, I'm constantly talking to my husband about it. And eventually, you know, I realized, I'm like, oh, I'm just going round in circles. Like I'm going round and round in circles, and I'm kind of almost like a, you know, cartoon characters, right? When they walk the same journey constantly, that the floor starts to go in, and the floor kind of like burrows, right? And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not explaining it very well, but I think you know what I mean. And I'm just kind of wandering around in circles, like, this is how I feel, and this is what she did, and if only she did this. And at some point, it's just like, oh my God, like, I'm exhausted myself from this. So it's good to talk about it, and for sure, really good to like vent to, you know, friends, family, partner, maybe your therapist. And you know that it gets to a point where you're like, okay, like enough is enough. If I find myself going back to that place of just like rehashing the same details and rehashing the same story, even though nothing's changed and nothing new has happened, it's time to kind of check yourself and say, okay, what is actually deeper here and what do I need going ahead? And on that note, you know, you can reflect on your relationship with that person. Most like relationships and most breakups, it's usually some level of two-sidedness. caveat here, like, of course, if a relationship was, you know, abusive or really harmful to you, like, that's a different story. But I'm talking about, like, general friendships or relationship breakups that just happen, right? I think a really good, yeah, I think a really good, this is my opinion, I think a really good character trait is to be able to see different sides of things. So in the past, when I've had breakups with friends, and I haven't had one in a long time, to be honest, like, last one was probably like 5 years ago or something. When I had past friendship breakups, it would be all, this is what she did, this is how she's made me feel, blah, blah, blah. And I would never, ever, ever see the other person's side. Whereas now, one, due to like age and just more like experience in life, and also just loads of work on myself and really knowing myself well and how I show up in relationships and, you know, all the ways I show up in life, I'm now able to like reflect a lot better on situations. And I can really see, like, okay, these are the things that she's made me feel. These are the things that I've made myself feel. This is my stuff. This is her stuff. And this is just what it came to. So, of course, like, maybe there's one kind of maybe clear person that takes most of the blame. And that's okay if it's you, because that's just what happens. But really, like, reflect on the relationship and the role that you played in the relationship, and also like the breakdown of it. If you're maybe experiencing the breakup with someone who doesn't take any accountability, that can be so frustrating. And I won't go into details with mine, but oh boy, is that happening for me, I'll just say. So that can feel really, really frustrating, and it can feel like, why aren't I being heard? Why aren't I feeling like this person gets it, you know? So really all you can do is take your stuff and move on from it. And moving on doesn't even need to be like forgetting or having bad blood with that person forever. You can just kind of name that for right now, this is how you feel, right? Like, maybe in a year's time you might feel different, or in a few months' time you might feel different. But for right now, this is how you feel. And I think it's quite powerful to be able to sit with the feeling of, okay, this is how I feel for right now. This is what this means for me. And this is how I'm going to move on. Obviously, you will still have feelings of anger. But just avoid like dwelling on the past. Try not to let yourself fall into a loop of like obsessing over everything that happened. And I think really that's all you can do. And a few kind of final tips from me is, depending on what like triggered the friendship breakup, you can choose to or to not forgive, right? Like, forgiveness is something that I always see, you know, said to be like a positive thing. But actually, if you're not ready to forgive someone for whatever's gone down, I think that's totally fine. Because, you know, some would argue that not letting go of it would bring up feelings of like resentment or anger. I'm really someone that believes that all feelings are valid. So if you don't want to forgive someone, I think that's okay for now. And, you know, you can forgive, but maybe you don't forget, right? Like, I know that in our kind of, there's almost this feeling of like positive psychology, right? Like, there's like this positivity vibes only thing. I don't like that. I think that you should really just feel how you feel. So however you want to go about this is totally valid. Another one that I would say, and just a few kind of, these are like a few final notes now on all of this. I would say one thing to try and, maybe one thing to like avoid to an extent would be like jumping really like headfirst into new relationships, or kind of really like forcing relationships to deepen. Just like with regular like romantic breakups, you know, it's like rebounding, right? Like going into a rebound relationship, you kind of know it's like almost set up to fail. So I think it's kind of the same thing with rebound friendships. So, you know, I have a lot of other friends, but I really don't want to kind of force or spend too much time in those friendships for now. Obviously, like some people, you know, sometimes I might just see people anyway, like have plans with people. But I think part of it is just not kind of forcing new friendships, I think, is really important. So try and be mindful if that's happening, because you don't want to overcorrect, right? And you also don't want to have the feeling of like, I have plenty of other friends, because that kind of comes from a place of you're really just trying to protect yourself, right? Which I think is totally normal too, but just practice living in what feels bad right now and trying to tolerate those feelings and trying not to overcorrect. I think that's like my biggest message with that. And I think other than that, I know that closure is something really that's important for people to get. Sometimes you're not going to get closure. Sometimes people will just completely cut you out, or sometimes people will be so difficult to deal with that you actually just can't get closure and you can't get the end that you want. I think that's okay, right? Sometimes that happens, and I'm sure there's been times where you've played the other role in the situation and you've not allowed someone to give you closure. And so I think that's okay. I think ultimately my message for you, if you're going through a friendship breakup, is anything you feel is okay. Try not to overcorrect by, you know, building 20 new friends or trying to kind of force other friendships, and really like use this time to reflect on yourself if you can. Reflect on the friendship and your relationship, but also like reflect on you. That's not to say that like friendships break up because of you or anything you've done. Sometimes they just don't work out. No one goes into a friendship expecting that there'll be a breakup. You know, same, kind of the same way with romantic relationships, but I think we're more like set up to believe that friendships will last, you know, forever. And yeah, try not to spend too much time in the past. Yeah, just try to live like in the now, because this is what's happening, right? And try to focus on other areas of your life that aren't just to do with this, within reason, right? But again, you don't want to overcorrect. This is me from the future. As I'm closing this episode up, I realized that I didn't like mention how disordered eating can show up in breakups, which you might think, are you serious? But I don't know, I wasn't thinking about it, so let's just talk about it now quickly. All right, so this is obviously, like, disordered eating is very linked to, well, everything, right? As we know. So of course during this time your want to soothe yourself or not be seen or to be seen, right, can really be like amplified by going through something that's stressful or something that really like pushes you out of a comfort zone or like makes you feel really dysregulated or feeling like you can't tolerate the emotions. So some of the ways that I would cope with it are really the same as coping with disordered eating in general. So let me give you like a few ways to deal with it. So one way that I think could be really helpful is to identify where in the body you're feeling your emotions, like when they're really intense. And if you can't do this when you're experiencing the emotion, that's okay, because if emotions are really intense, like you can't really access this part of your brain that you need to like regulate yourself. But if you can, something that I think would be really cool, and I say really cool because I think it can teach you a lot about how your disordered eating is linked to your emotions. I tell you this because I've done this in the past in my recovery, and this was really cool. So something that you can do is, like I said, you can feel where in your body you're experiencing these emotions. So if you're feeling a lot of anger or a lot of emotional pain or frustration, if you can learn to name where in the body that shows up for you, I think that that can really give you a clue as to why your disordered eating shows up in the first place. So let me give you an example. And this isn't going to be applicable for you maybe, but it's going to be applicable for some. So you can think of your own example. Okay, so if you're someone who struggles with the want to binge or the want to purge, often what can come up is a feeling of holding a lot of emotion in your throat or in your stomach. Okay, so like it kind of makes sense because purging is often, not always, but let's say most of the time, related to somehow the throat and the stomach, right? It's kind of linked to like a way of not being able to keep nourishment and food in. And also obviously the act of purging for some people would be throat stuff, right? So if you're experiencing a lot of discomfort or you really feel your emotions in your throat or your stomach, that could be an indication that it's somehow to do with keeping nourishment in, feeling like you deserve nourishment, feeling like you're able to like tolerate emotions, feeling like you can tolerate stuff coming into your life. The throat can be even like being heard, being seen, being able to like voice your needs, being able to voice boundaries. You see, like hopefully you see what I'm talking about. It's not like perfect because it really has, like I do this like on an individual level, but that could like bring up, I think, quite a lot of good insight into you and the kind of roots of your disordered eating. If you're someone who, and obviously that was kind of binging and purging, but I think it also relates with restriction and other behaviors too, but really like notice what comes up for you and where you're feeling it in the body. If you're someone who feels a lot of tension and emotions like in your shoulders, it might be worth using something like somatic exercises to unleash that emotion. So, you know, if you're someone who you're kind of crunching through in your shoulders, it would be worth kind of, you know, like pushing up and out of that position, like kind of counteracting what you feel. So those are some things that could kind of help emotions, one, for you to like detect where they are and to figure out some of the kind of root stuff that's going on. And then two, kind of help the emotions move through you by counteracting what you physically feel. So if your legs feel really sore and really tight, you want to kind of stretch them out or you want to make space, right? So if you're someone who really crunches up when you are going through a tough time, you want to kind of like elongate yourself, right? And then of course that might be things like you know, massages, or like massaging yourself, using products, having like a hot bath, all these kind of things. Another thing that I wanted to mention on the note of disordered eating is, obviously while I am pro recovery and pro not using disordered behaviors, if that is something that you do, don't beat yourself up about it because it's just going to make it worse. Okay, like I said in the episode where I was like, you know, just be in the now and this is just how it is and it really sucks and it's fine because it will pass. It's the same thing where if you do engage in disordered behaviors or you really fall into the mindset of disordered stuff, it's okay. Like, give yourself a break. It's fine. It makes so much sense that that's what you'd go to because it's like how you cope with difficult emotions, right? And I think that's actually all I want to say on the disordered stuff, because I already mentioned that you still want to be eating regularly. You want to be taking care of yourself, relying on other people if you can, setting boundaries. So yeah, I think that's all I want to add on that point. And hopefully that all makes sense in relation to your relationship with food and your body. All right, and then you'll meet me in a second, just rounding off the episode. So yeah, my final note is just going to be, if you're going through a breakup with a friend, really sorry to hear that, really sucks. But, you know, to go through friendship breakups is to experience good times too, right? And yeah, like my husband says, if you have a friendship breakup, there's a reason for it, right? That's what he keeps saying to me. I know that that's not like profound. It's quite a normal thing, but this is what he keeps reminding me. So send in support and good vibes if you're going through a friendship breakup. Yeah, and hopefully it wasn't too weird to hear me talking about myself, but hopefully I didn't. I don't think I really gave too much information about me, so that feels fine to me. So yeah, come back to this if you need to, whenever you have a friendship breakup. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.